One of the news items this week was that the Los Angeles Teachers Union went on strike, and there are no public school classes going on in Los Angeles, as I understand it, not to mention the ongoing federal shutdown and the reports of essential government workers calling in sick, which is a slightly related issue. What I wanted to talk about tonight is how halacha conceives of striking. What does that have to do with the parsha? In one of the collections of Rabbi Yitzchak Silverstein's parsha material, he has a whole arichas about strikes on the pasuk Vayitzakel Hashem Vayareyu Hashem Eitz Vayishlechel Amayim Vayim Tekom Amayim Sham Sam Lachokum Mishpat Sham Nisahu. What does that have to do with strikes? I tried very hard to figure it out. I'm not sure. But if it's good enough for Silverstein, it's good enough for me. Did Israel go on strike? Did they threaten to go on strike if they didn't have water? I don't know. But somehow that was an excuse to talk about strikes.
They had complaints.
Okay, good. So Reb Moshe has a famous tshuva, Chelak Aleph of Choshen Mishpat, Simen Nun Ches and Simen Nun Tes. Nun Ches is more famous. It's at the end of these Marmar Kavos. Reb Moshe and Simen Nun Tes here talks about whether teachers could go on strike, or Melamdim specifically, which we'll get to a little bit later. And in Nun Ches, he talks about strikes in general. There's a similar tshuva with a similar analysis that Rav Avadya has in Yechavadas Chelek Dalit Simen Mem Ches. Yechavadas Chelek Dalit Simen Mem Ches. Yechavadas was the collection of Rav Avadya's radio shirim that were put into the volumes of Yechavadas. So the questions I will try to address are, number one, in general, is there halakhic justification for striking, for creating a union? And if there is indeed justification in general, how does that apply to melamdim? How does that apply to essential personnel whose jobs are necessary for the public welfare? So as far as the first general issue as to whether there is halakhic basis justification for unionizing and for striking when unions want to strike, so both Reb Moshe and Reb Avadya point to a Gemara in Bavar Basra. Bavar Basra Chesam and Beis. It's where you have the Os Vav of the Ein Mishpat, about two-thirds of the way down the short lines. The Gemara says, Rasha'im v'nei ha'ir lasas kupa tamchui kupa l'shenos v'chom ha'shiyirtsu Rasha'im v'nei ha'ir lahasnos alamidos v'alasharim. So the residents of the city have the ability to make stipulations as to how they will use measurements, what system of measurements to use to change the measurements that are sold on the market, change the system of how things are measured for sale. The Askar Polim, and they have the ability to make stipulations as to how people are paid. Ulahasiya al Kitsasan. What does that mean, Lasi al Kitsasan, says Rashi? Liknos esa over al kitzas devrayim, to condemn those who violate the stipulations of the community. Lasia midas din Torah, to even a situation in which those midos are the creation of that society, they still have the ability to condemn people to follow their directives. The Rosh over here explains that this is not limited to Bnei Ha'ir, but it also is relevant to any group of workers that band together in a certain profession, that the internal mechanism, the internal individuals associated with a certain profession have the ability to regulate that profession. Rav Avadya quotes a Tshuvas HaRashba, second page of the Marmar Kamos, Tshuvas HaRashba, Chelak Hei, Simen Kuf Kafei, Chelak Hei, Simen Kuf Kafei, who expands upon this idea in the Rush that this is relevant to professions internally regulating themselves as well. And he points out in the end of this tshuva that the miyut is forced to follow the rov, that even if you have a minority, even a vocal minority, of people who don't want to follow the rules that were voted on by the majority of the people in that profession, they have the right to, they don't have the right to do that, and they have to follow the majority. So there is a notion of minhag establishing the norms within a profession, as reflected in the Gemara in Bavar Basra, is amplified by the Rishonim over there. So even if in a vacuum, say both Reb Moshe and Reb Avadya, there's no notion in halacha of unionizing, of striking, but that's within the spirit of the ability that professionals have to regulate their trade. So therefore, they both assume that in theory, if the Minhag HaMedina is to allow for striking, to allow for unions, then there's no violation to do so. There's no halachic violation in doing so. Ramosha does then go on to point out, if you take a look at Simen Nun Ches, the paragraph beginning of Al Vadai, this is page Kufes on the top, toward the end of the pamphlet. Avalvade lasos dvarim shaloki dinei Torah. That after Moshe establishes that there is halach justification, at least there's no impediment to having unions and striking, but to do something that would violate dinei Torah could go on the hakos es elu she yisratzu lavo, to beat up the people that cross the picket line, kishem yasu shvisa strike belaz aser. So if someone doesn't follow the strike, you're not allowed to strike them. Lo rak ayidei akum ela af ayidei atzmam di alaka gam beheskeim adam chashim establish aser. So you're not allowed to hit people even if they violate these contracts. As the Gemara also indicates, where Moshe addresses this for Vavadi and the other poskim, the Gemara does say later on in the Sigin Bavir Basra that this ability to regulate does require the haskama of the Tamil Chacham of the city. So if there's a Chacham in the city, then any internal regulation of the Midos, Lasi Al-Kitzasen, has to be endorsed by that Tamil Chacham. So the Pesukim explain that as far as the relevance to our question of unionizing, if in theory you had a Chacham in the ear who was in charge of all commercial matters also and was involved in the business operations of the city, then you would need his haskama before creating a union. But in our cities you don't really have that. It's we're happy if the people listen to the Tamid Chachamim for Mila Dishmaya, but they don't get involved in these kinds of commercial matters. So you don't really have a situation where you need the Chacham Meir to be maskim to the unionizing. But anyway, that was a reference here to Adam Chashuv. So Ramosha says that you have to be careful not to violate any Dinei Torah. In this Sefer Mishpat HaPolim, contemporary Sefer on employer-employee relations, written by a Rabbi Yosef Rasner of Ashdod, Tavshin Samich Zayin, so he points out that even if there is justification for striking, where employers have certain legitimate concerns that they want a pay raise, they want better working conditions, and the minhag ha-sokrim, so to speak, allows for it, but that doesn't necessarily justify a work slowdown. So he distinguishes between striking, not coming in at all, and not doing your best when you're actually coming to work. There is a strike. You can definitely argue about this. It's not so clear where you draw the line, but a strike is a clear, formal statement on the part of the employees that they're looking for certain demands to be met, and they're not coming to work until they're met. If you slow down, so it's hard to gauge what exactly is going on, it's hard to gauge what the impact is on the business, what the nezek is, and he points out Moshe has a tshuva in Yerodeya Chelak Aleph Simen Kuf Lamaches, Aleph Yerodeya Simen Kuf Lamaches, about Melamdim striking, which we'll talk about in a few moments. But there he addresses specifically the question as to whether Melamdim can work below capacity. So they're not going to go on strike, but they're not going to put on their all. They're going to come late, they're going to cut corners. So he thinks that that is definitely inappropriate. The Chazon Ish has a related discussion. Chazon Ish is printed here in the Mar Mekomos, the page before Ramosha. The very end of Simon Kuf Gimel in Bava Kama. He writes, Mina Amr Nilmad, last paragraph. The Echa Mina Yair, Shenosin Avoda Lepolim. So a person has employees. The Salkam Achrizman Eschira, Sotokhizman, Minesha Chazir Apolim, Enem Isratim, Iskar Shekhazir Imaim. They didn't like the salary, so he fired them. Oh, Shechazer Balabayas, the Kibel Alav, or the Balabayas agreed to terms, Yado Alatachtona. Klala Sheldavar, Shesalkam Bershus Alpidin Torah, where you fire them and you have the right to fire them, Einan Rashayim Lama Bifneacherim Abayim Lavarez Balabayas. So if you fire workers, they have no right to prevent you from employing others in their stead. So So you have no right, if you're laid off, you have no right to prevent the employer from hiring other workers in your stead. And that's relevant in the striking situation also. Can you prevent other people from crossing the picket line? Reb Moshe talks about that in the tshuva here, Simen Nun Ches. Sorry, this is in Simen Nun Tes. The paragraph that begins, V'lachein. V'lachein Masha Machlitin Beish Kuf Yod, second column. So you have the ability to strike, and even if the minority of union members or employees don't want to join the strike, you can force them to join. Can you prevent non-unionized workers from filling their places? Yesh la'ayin, Rosh is not sure. So all the members of the union can internally regulate the union, then no one else can step in to replace the striking workers. But the union doesn't represent non-unionized members. So you can't impose the union interests on non-union members. So maybe the union has a right to regulate the entire industry even outside of the union. And the only reason they're not advocating for the interests of the non-union members is because they want to punish the non-union members for not being part of the union. In the spirit of the Gemara Bava Basra, But if the non-union members are going to cross the picket line, so then they're going to compromise any gain that the union members are going to get. So that's like a pasag l'chiyuse, that's you're cutting off my livelihood, so that you have the right to regulate. So there's a certain taboo against crossing a picket line, and society recognizes that. So Moshe thinks that it's mistaber that you even have the right to prevent other people from stepping in place of the unionized members who are on strike. Okay. There's another interesting approach to the notion of striking that appears in a sefer called Tichukas HaAvodah. Tichukas HaAvodah was written in 1945 by Rav Moshe Findling in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Avadia in this tshuva Michad Adas references it. That doesn't tell you what he says. He just has a list of marmakomets on the topic, and he says, take a look at that sefer. So the initial analysis is kind of along the lines of Rav Moshe and Rav Avadia. He's writing decades before, well, not decades before Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe's tshuva is 1952, I think. But he's writing before Rav Moshe and long before Rav Avadia wrote on this topic. So the first analysis is kind of along the lines of what we saw based on the Gemara in Bava Basra, although he has an interesting framing of the question. He says, Hamunach Shvita nikba terminologia shall ha Marxism. She yisodo hu ha dictatoria ha chadstadit shall ha proletarian. Vein chok objectivi ba'olam she yacho lahaskem lo. So the notion of striking is a Marxist socialist idea that is based on the socialist notion of proletariat, and there's no objective system in the world that actually could justify striking, and definitely not Das Torah. Nevertheless, he goes on to explain similar justifications of Lasi al-Kitsasa and the long lines that we said, and then he quotes an unpublished oral, or a published oral tshuva from Rav Kook. that was printed in some Torah journal in 1933, where Rav Kook apparently said that there's another situation in which striking is legitimate and halakhically mandated. That's where the workers want to force the employer to din Torah. So they're trying to get the employer to come to din Torah. The employer won't budge, he won't come. So the workers are allowed to strike. They cannot show up to work in order to force the employer to come to a din Torah. Lo mi bai, if they already have a contract and the employer is not living up to the terms of the contract, that they have the right to strike to force the employer to come to din Torah. But even if they want to renegotiate the contract, even if the price of living has gone up and they feel that their salaries haven't been commensurate with price of living increases, they have the right to force their balabas, the employer, to come to din Torah by striking in order to come to best. Okay, that he quotes from Rav Kook as another justification for another situation in which striking could be justified. In Rav Zilberstein's analysis here, he takes a much more skeptical approach to justifying striking. So he points out, even though it is true, so you could have said that the starting point for this discussion is the Gemara in Bava and Siyah Daf Yud, that Paul Yachal Lafser Bo Afilu B'Chatzi Yom, that a day laborer has the right to leave his job even in the middle of the day, because the pasuk says Ki Li B'nei Yisrael Avadim, that the Jewish people are Avadim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'lo Avadim L'Avadim, that we only serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we don't serve anyone else, and therefore a day laborer is allowed to leave the job in the middle without any penalty. And that's quoted l'halacha in Shulchan Aruch, Simen Shin Lama Gimel, Se'if Dalid, Tisif Hey. That Pol Yachal Achsebo, Afila B'chayte Yom, that's in Sif Dalid. The beginning of Sif Gimel. Hiskel Apol B'mlacha Sif Gimel, V'chazer B'chayte Yom, Chozer, he's allowed to do it, Afilo kibel kvar de meschiras ve'im biyada l'sham v'alabai yachal achzerbo v'mos kovalav. Fine. So maybe you would have said that in the spirit of Paul yachal achzer v'chatzi yom, so workers can always go on strike. They can decide they're not going to work without repercussions. However, Rav Zilberstein points out that the Piskei Tshuva here in Sifkat and Dalud is a very long Piskei Tshuva. He quotes a machlokas achronim about the following. So the classic case of the Gemara, Pol Yachal Lachzer Bo Afilu B'Chatzi Yom, is that he decides he has enough of working, he wants to go sit in the Beis Medrash and learn all day. So then you can't force him to continue the job. But let's say he wants to leave employer A to go to employer B. That he's not against working, but he found a better job somewhere else. So is he allowed to abandon the first job to go to the second job? So on the one hand, technically speaking, Yachal Lachzer Bo Afilu B'Chatzi Yom. On the other hand, what's the rationale? Yachal Lachzer Bo Afilu B'Chatzi Yom because he doesn't want to be shibut to anyone. But here, he's going to leave his shibut to Poel A and go to employer A and go to employer B. So maybe that old din doesn't apply. So that he quotes in the Piskei Tshuva as a machlokes achronim between the Chabas Yair and the Chachmas Shlomo and others. Now, the Piskei Tshuva seems to be machria or binota in the other direction, that if you're going to just go from job one to job two, that we don't say Yachal Lachzer Bo Afilu B'Chatzi Hayom. Moreover, the Rama writes in Sif Dalid, so the Mechaber begins Sif Dalid, Heitzah Din HaPoel Shechazer Bo Achar Shehiskel Shamer Lo Masha Asa V'Notel. In the letters of the Rama it says, Bein hukra hamalacha o huzla v'dafka shechazer stam avim chozer mikoch yoker ein samchelo. So if the guy is chozer stam, that's what we're talking about. But if he's chozer because he wants more money or because the rate of payment changed and he thinks he deserves more money, so then yado ala tachtona, then he doesn't have the right to be chozer at will. So Zilberstein thinks maybe that should be relevant to this discussion. He doesn't address the issue of lasi al kitzasim one baba basra, but he thinks as far as paul chozer b'al soyom, that shouldn't be relevant to situations of striking. Then he has an interesting mar makom from a gemara in Yuma. Gemara in Yuma lamechesam and aleph. That's in the Mishnah. The Mishnayos have the list of the good guys and the bad guys who did commendable things and did non-commendable things. So the Mishnah tells us about the various people who had certain mumchias that they used in the service of the Beis HaMikdash, and they wouldn't share their professional knowledge with others. The Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, right after the Mishnah, they skarmu hayu bekiyin b'maisa lechem apanim. So they had expertise in making the lechem apanim. V'lorasa l'labu, they didn't want to teach it anyone else. Shalcha chachamim, v'viyu umanim e'alexander yishal mitzrayim. Vayu yodin lefos kamosan, v'lo yu yodin lirados kamosan. So the chachamim tried to outsource to someone else, and the other people didn't have the same expertise. They knew how to bake it the same way, they didn't know how to get out of the oven the same way. They had different methods of lining the oven and baking it and removing the bread. So the Alexandrian ones, the bread ended up moldy. So the base garment came back to work. So they wanted Beis Garmin to come back to work. They didn't come. So they doubled their wages. And then they came back. So, sounds like the people of Beis Garmin were on strike for higher wages. And the Chacham acquiesced to their demands. And then they came back. So maybe that should be a raya from this story in the Gemara that you're allowed to strike for higher wages. So as Zilberstein says, not necessarily. Maybe the Gemara here is talking about where their employment term is over. You know, they were employed for whatever period of time. They finished the job. Now, Chacham wanted to rehire them, so they were holding out for better pay. But you can't necessarily see from here that you'd be allowed to strike in the middle of your contract for better terms. The Zilberstein's bottom line in this analysis is that he's a little bit skeptical about the motivation for people to strike. You have to make sure that they're doing it in a way that follows Ruach HaTorah. And they're not harming too many people in the process. So, Ramosha in Simon Nuntes discusses the question as to whether, once he established that there is justification in halacha for striking, unionizing, and demanding better terms before coming back to work, does the same apply to Melamdim, to Rebbeim? So the first Ramosha points out, Simon Nuntes, a paragraph beginning of Bedvar Melamdim, that when it comes to Melamdim, there's a technical cheshbon that's different. That you're not really supposed to pay Melamdim anything. The only justification for paying a Melamed is Schar Batala. It happens to be that that's also true by doctors. Doctors also are only allowed to get Schar Batala, Yaradeya Simon Shidlam Vav Sif Beis. How things worked out that the Schar Batala the doctors get now seem to be on a different scale than Melamdim, I'm not sure. But in Shulchan Aruch, it sounds like doctors and Melamdim are subject to the same restrictions of only being paid Schar Batala. So Ramosha says, let's think about it. The Melamdim are only allowed to get Schar Batala. So what are they going to say? We're not going to come to work, so we get paid more. So if they're not coming to work, they're vayter being... they're osek in that Batala, so they don't deserve any more for any less for being mevatel from the Talmud Torah that they're supposed to be engaged in, from the Limud Tinokos, because they can only get paid Schar Batala anyway. So they... If they're not doing anything else, they would have to teach anyway, regardless of how they get paid, because that's the they're only getting paid Schar Batala from the beginning. And then he says there's a calculation of Davar Avud. The din of Pol Yachal Lachzer V'Chatzi Yom doesn't apply to Davar Avud. If he's going to cause a loss to the employer, so then he's not allowed to go back unless he finds someone to replace him. He's not allowed to leave unless he finds someone to replace him. And Shulchan Aruch Sifhei, Shin Lamed Gimel Sifhei, it says that a Melamed has a din of Schar Batala. Of a Dover Ovid. If someone's not going to teach, so then that's a Dover Ovid for the Talmidim. Plus, Ramosha writes that even leaving aside the technical Dover Ovid calculation, you're increasing the Batala on the part of the Talmidim. And bittul tinoko shel beis rabban is a major avera. Eina ola miskayim ela behevel pm shel tinoko shel beis rabban. So you're definitely not allowed to strike if it's going to involve violating an avera. And Rav Avadya, in even stronger terminology, writes again Yechavadas Chela Dalid Simen Mem Ches. He quotes from Moshe, and he says, "Hashvisa v'batei sefer sheyesh b'bitul Torah l'tamidim uchei gadol." Shafilim naniach shamorim tzolkim mitviyas kar shalahem. Even if the melandim are correct, shein maskursam mivatasas amamis ve'agiyah shalahem. They're not being paid in a way that's commensurate with their work. Hare sof sof ein hashvisa chalila al pas lechem. Ve'ein kol hastaka lahafkirs alfa yalda Yisrael l'chastei rechov. That's not justification to put everyone out on the street, all the kids on the street. L'valtem l'tam etorah v'glal etabas kar v'shibar tenayavoda, just for better working conditions. And even when they come back, it's going to take a while to get them back into the swing of things. And that's a pseida de lohadra above Mitzio Kuftes. So he thinks that there's definitely no justification for melamdim striking. So at first glance, those considerations seem to be limited to melamdim of Talmud Torah. Wouldn't be relevant to the Los Angeles Teachers Union and the public schools there. But there is a tshuva of Reb Aaron Cutler, Mishnas Reb Aaron, Chelek Beis, Simen Ayin Aleph, which is referenced in the tshuva Svan Hagos that you have in front of you, your Sturmbach, Chelek, tshuva Svan Hagos, Chelek Beis, Simen Tav Samach Aleph, Chelek Beis, Simen Tav Samach Aleph. Reb Aaron's tshuva is Mishnas Reb Aaron, Chelek Beis, Simen Ayin Aleph. So Reb Aaron writes that at first glance you would assume that everything we just said only applies to melamdim of Talmud Torah and not of Limudei Chol. But he says, not necessarily true, that even when it comes to Limudei Chol, there's a dover of a consideration. Because if the students are going to be out on the street, Yadua Godel HaKilkol Haba Mibatola, they're just going to wander around the streets. Who knows what could happen? That's a spiritual hefset. So even to not teach them Torah, there's no justification. But even if you're teaching them limudei chol, but to strike from teaching limudei chol and leave them out on the street, that's also a davar over that's a pseida de lo hadar. And he says, after all, even if they finish, once they finish their general studies, so then they should be spending more time learning Torah anyway. So, whatever time they're not learning general studies, they should be learning Torah regardless. And then, Rav Spitz has a tshuva on this topic also. You've quoted him before, contemporary, the Chaber of many Choshim Mishpat Sfarim, Shuvas Minchas Tzvi Chele Bei Simen Yud, Minchas Tzvi Chele Bei Simen Yud Oz Tezayin. So he says this should be true for teaching girls nowadays also. That even Moros Amalandus about the Sefer Tamidos Torah, Shabbasav, Dinim, Yeras Shemai, whatever you're allowed to teach girls. For Nimnu Vigamar Abbasainu Gedoli Yadora Sachronim, Shemitzvah Vichova Lazos Bate Sefer Ka'elu. The women have to know the mitzvahs that are negeya to them. You have to instill your Yiras Shemayim. So that's also a davar avod if you're not going to teach girls. So whatever we said for melamdim is relevant for girls' education as well. One final issue we'll just touch on. The question is to whether after people come back to work, can they collect back pay? So Ramosha writes at the end of the Chuvan Simen Nun Tes that he thinks if the melamdim were justified in striking to begin with, so then they have a claim for back pay. At least it should be the minimum pay that someone would get for that that period of time. He thinks even if Me'ikra Din are not entitled to it, but it's appropriate to give it to them anyway because they weren't going to strike Stam for no reason, but they had justification for going on strike. Not that they again, not talking about Malamdim should be going on strike, but any worker that does strike. Rav Moshe does allow, parenthetically, that you could have a situation of an extreme where, based on a proper psak, you have Malamdim that think that if they just strike for a day or two, they'll get what they want. So then there's a cost-benefit analysis, and maybe you could justify striking for a very short period of time in order to gain far greater employment gains. So Rav Moshe entertains that as a something that requires further analysis. And there is the Shuvas Tashbetz quoted in that earlier mentioned sefer from 1945 that also seems to justify, under certain circumstances, giving back pay where it wasn't the fault of the employee for missing work. Okay, we're out of time. This is some of the Rashi Brachim.